It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Since 1979, TireRack.com has been helping people find the right tires for how, what, and where they drive. They sell only the best, like the full line of Hankook tires. Test results, ratings, and reviews are there to assist. Or try the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. Tires ship fast and free to you or to one of over 10,000 recommended installers. In many areas, they offer mobile tire installation. Shop Hankook tires at TireRack.com.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. I'm your host, Rudo, joined as always by AJ Haefeli. Being an NHL head coach, sometimes it takes balls. Other times, it takes maybe bigger balls to fire an NHL head coach. So if you want to be part of the boys club that keeps it silky smooth in the NHL, use Manscaped today. Use code DNVR20 and get 20% off your purchase at manscaped.com. Head on over there. Get the Perfect Package 3.0. They offer precision tools to take care of your family jewels. They also offer great other options as well, whether it be breath mints, their boxer briefs, ton of other stuff. I think they have shave mats as well. Just check it out. Bunch of awesome products. Go get in and be part of the boys club. Let's jump in. Obviously, the big news from yesterday, Claude Julien being fired by the Montreal Canadiens. We'll talk about that specifically, but probably look at this wider as what it takes to be and fire a coach in the NHL in general, because I think a lot of people were kind of blindsided by this Julien firing. Montreal, they were on a losing streak, but they were doing just fine this season on the whole.
Yeah, I mean, they had they had kind of a hot start, but like a losing streak, you know, they are, their last 10 games, they're 4-4-2.
Which is not good, but not like cataclysmic.
Yeah. So in a 10 game stretch, you have 20 points available to you. And at 4-4-2, you have 10 of those 20 points.
Yep.
So plenty of room for improvement, but that's still 10 points. I think that I was surprised by it, because I think the number one reason why I picked Montreal to win that division this year was Claude Julien, is because I thought that the team was a really well coached unit, and they added enough talent over the offseason that I thought, boy, this is kind of crazy, because like, do you remember the Canadiens only got into the postseason last year because they expanded it?
Yep. They would have missed otherwise.
Yeah, and they weren't even particularly close. Like, Montreal fans were talking lotto. Yeah, and then they got in.
Yeah.
They got in, and a power outage on Pittsburgh's offense you know, Carey Price has a great series. They advance, and all of a sudden, they look at themselves differently.
Yep.
And they have a really aggressive offseason, in which I think they definitely got better. And
about it.
Then all of a sudden, you know, they're in a playoff spot in a division that's had kind of a crazy start to it. Maybe it only feels crazy because they haven't had games canceled, so it feels like everybody in that division's played 500 times already. But they're doing just fine. They have a positive goal differential. They look like the most complete team in that division. When you talk about firepower up front, defensive ability, goaltending, I don't know how you look at any of the other teams. Like,
certainly,
Toronto could steamroll half the teams in that division,
but
just offensively bury them.
The Canadiens are basically the only team in the division that can actually play some defense. Like,
yeah, and part of that is that Julian is a really good coach. He coaches good defensive hockey teams.
Yep.
And I'm surprised. Like, there has to be. And look, Mark Bergevin's there every day. He knows what's up. But that's a really high quality coach. And to see that guy go, like, I don't know where I would have Claude Julien in like the hierarchy of coaches in the NHL. If I was sitting down and making up a top 10 list, I don't know where he'd be.
I mean,
but I do think he is one of the better coaches in the league, one of the more consistent ones. I'd have to look to see if I'm actually right about this, but I've never, just watching his teams, I've never felt like that's a guy who coaches out the offense by stressing defense. You know, there are some coaches that do that.
How many coaches in the NHL actually have a Stanley Cup championship to their name? Is it like five? Because you have Julian, you have Sullivan in Pittsburgh, you have Cooper in Tampa Bay, you have Trotz, who won one with Washington.
St. Louis.
Yeah, you're right. With Berube.
Craig Berube.
But
so I always forget Craig Berube is the coach there. Yeah.
That's five, but you know, Julian is in some pretty select company. Maybe there's one or two more that I'm not thinking of. Quinville, of course, who's back with Florida.
Yeah, Q, obviously.
So that's six of the 32 coaches in the 31, I guess. Seattle doesn't count. Coaches in the league. Julian's in pretty select company there at the moment. Well, I guess he's not anymore because he's not a head coach, but certainly a weird one. Did Laviolette ever win one? I thought he only ever made a final.
I think he won with Carolina.
Did he? Okay.
And I think he was their like 06 coach.
I mean, yeah, they only won one, so. Either way, my point being, not that many current NHL head coaches have a Stanley Cup.
Does Laviolette have one?
We can look it up. I have a list right here.
Yeah, I know Laviolette has made the final. He made the finals with the Preds, not the Preds.
Yeah, you're right. He did it with
the Flyers. With Carolina. Yeah, and the Preds. He was the Preds head coach.
Yeah,
and he made the finals with the Flyers, and he did it, and then he won the cup with Carolina.
Yeah. Oh, the only winner with Carolina, though.
Yeah.
So, a decent number, but
okay.
Not even 10 NHL current NHL head coaches have a Stanley Cup to their name. So,
yeah, the point that you're making is very valid, that a lot of these and last night after the game, to tie this into the ads, last night there were how many people that were tweeting at any of our accounts that were like, Jared Bednar is not a Stanley Cup coach. Can he get them across the finish line? And the way that I always respond to people, I always say, look, no coach is ever a Stanley Cup coach until they win it.
Yeah.
Like,
John Cooper was in what, year seven?
Yeah, John Cooper is a great example because John Cooper and Jared Bednar outside of the now Stanley Cup,
yep,
have basically the same coaching resume. You know, different backgrounds and all that in life and all, but the same coaching resume.
One at minor league levels.
Yeah, won championships in the ECHL, the AHL, and then ended up very good head coaches in the NHL.
Yep.
And Cooper, you know, the Lightning were thought of as chokers, and Cooper couldn't get the job done. And now all that's dead. You don't hear that stuff
anymore. It takes one win to not be a choker. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all it ever is. And you know, it's funny our perception that these guys have.
Yeah.
It just, I mean, because a guy like Claude Julien is, he's been there and he's done that, and he's coached the result is great results out of teams.
I mean, when you look at Julien's time in Montreal, this is his second stint with Montreal, but when you look at his time in Montreal, he had 17-18, in which Montreal was pretty terrible. But his other three seasons, the one he was hired in, when he was hired in halfway through the season, Montreal was 16-7. 18-19, Montreal 40-30. They missed the playoffs, but they had 96 points.
Yeah.
A strong season from them. And then 19-20, they were not tracking very well, 71 points in 71 games, but you already mentioned the playoff bubble gave them an opportunity to prove something in the playoffs.
Yep.
And they were 9-5-4 when he got fired yesterday.
Yeah. And a 6-11 points percentage is pretty good.
Yeah. They were poised to be in a good spot in that Northern Division. They're still today, I think they're fourth in the division, but that's still in a playoff spot up in Canada. And they had three games in hand on Edmonton to try and track them down ahead of them. So,
yeah. Well, and like, that's not a division that you're worried about finishing last in anymore, yeah, because Ottawa, the bottom fell out right away.
And Vancouver isn't that far ahead of Ottawa either with 23 right, well, games played.
Yeah, that's the crazy part is that their points percentage is so bad too, because they've played so many games and they're not any good.
Yeah. The only team that you're worried about if you're the top four is Calgary, and they're playing 500 hockey. So
right, and well, and like their GM is going on the radio and like lashing out at people for trade rumors and stuff, and it's like bro.
Yeah. So I don't know. The Bergevin obviously felt pretty steadfast that he felt the team was stagnant, and Julien was part of the problem there. But I don't know that the team's numbers really support that theory, but here we are.
It's really interesting that like you broke down his stint in Montreal the yep. last couple of years, you know, the really hot start where you know, and then they missed the postseason those couple of years, but they do it in very different ways.
Yeah.
And then last year's weirdness, and this year, like this year, this is the best they have been outside of that 24 games at the end. So to fire him now,
it's just, I think, weird timing. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the timing of it is weird. And that's what caught me the most off guard about it was this is like they're tracking just fine. You know, like they're okay. It's just, I could understand it if they were 45 games in and were right towards the end of the season and they just hadn't lived up to any expectations. But at this point in the season, there are very few teams that you can write the book about. You know, yeah. Vancouver at 23 games played has a ways to go to catch up in that division, but it's like even them, they're, you know, they've got time in the season to turn this thing around.
They're still clear of Ottawa. Outside of Ottawa and Detroit, no team is really out of it.
Yeah, I mean, Nashville's probably there. Buffalo is probably there.
You certainly have teams on the outside, but
yeah. I don't know. It's just such a weird time to be firing a coach.
Agreed. Maybe. All right. Is Bergevin Galaxy branding this and trying to do what Pittsburgh did with Sullivan? Fire coach to Stanley Cup?
Maybe. we've seen it. I mean, it's worked.
Yeah.
I mean, Berube got there.
Drew St. Louis did it too. Yeah.
So we've seen it a couple of times where it's worked. It just, I don't know, man. The other thing is what do you do with that position now? It's not just about firing a coach. Now you have to go get somebody to do the job. I think the obvious name that's out there right now would probably be Gerard Gallant.
Yeah. That's true. It's not like there's a ton of names out there. Gallant being one of the few big ones. As of this moment, the interim head coach is previous assistant coach Dominique Ducharme. Canadians are a bit weird with how many coaches they've gone through, but we'll get to that in just a second. We do have to take our first period break with Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You can get 8 different kinds on tap down at the DNVR bar where AJ and I will be for tomorrow's game, so come check it out. Find yourself some Breck Brew Seltzer if you haven't yet. That stuff is awesome. Go on over and get some at your local liquor store. Use the Breck Beer Locator online to find what you need to find. And, of course, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. These guys offer amazing deals for you every single day with their odds boosts. But if you want to literally win free money, sign up with a new account today with code DNVR. You can get a $1 to earn a $100 bet on any basketball game for the rest of this week. Any basketball game, all they have to do is make 1 3-pointer in the game. You win $100. Just like that. Easiest $100 you could ever make. Jump on it. Get yourself $100. DraftKings has you covered top to bottom with that. You can go in and bet on whatever you want. Turn that money into even more money. Why not? Because that is what DraftKings is all about. They've paid out over $12 billion to their customers since 2012. So, yeah, jump on the money train. Get in there. They're safe, secure, super reliable. So, super easy to get your money in and out wherever you need it. Highly recommend, as always. Can never get enough of this one. You know the drill by now, I'm sure. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Must be 21 or older. I already said that. $100 payout paid out in 4 $25 free bets. Restrictions apply there as well. Call 1-800-522-4700 if you have a gambling problem. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by that DraftKings Sportsbook. AJ will be back with us in just a second. But for the moment, I did want to take a look at the Montreal Canadiens head coach history, because they are a team that goes through coaches pretty quickly. Since 2000, if you count interim head coaches as well, they have gone through Dominique Ducharme as their current interim head coach will be their 10th NHL coach in the past decade. So on average, including interims, that's one every other year. A very quick turnover rate. And around the league, it's pretty varied. You have a team like Tampa. The longest current head coach in the NHL is John Cooper, who has been doing that job since 2013. So they've stuck with their guy, and they've been a pretty successful franchise under him, making the playoffs, I believe, every single year of his tenure, and obviously winning the cup just last season. So Cooper got the job done, but at the same time, he had time to get the job done. Montreal, and this is relatively true for all of Canada when they're not just full on tanking. Coaches are in the hot seat there a lot faster than they are in some smaller markets. So Yeah, JT, a number of teams have done that recently, actually. Pittsburgh did it on the first year of their back-to-back championships, and St. Louis did it just the other year as well with bringing in Berube. But St. Louis in particular brings up another question of how much of coaching success is actually just a hot goaltender, particularly in the playoffs, because sometimes those two things can get conflated for each other a little bit. You know, Jordan Binnington obviously going on the insane run he did certainly helped Berube quite a bit. Did Pittsburgh do it in an 09 as well? Okay, well, there you go. As AJ is coming back and getting reset up here. AJ,
I'm scared.
I was just I was talking about if you head coaches, Montreal has now had 10 head coaches in the last 20 years.
Oof.
Yeah, quite a few.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Part of this is Montreal, right? There's a very specific culture in Montreal where, yes, it is all of the Canadian media hot seat, but then they also run with having to hire multilingual front office people almost entirely. And at every opportunity, they certainly take the advantage to hire a French-speaking, be it GM, coach, whatever they can find.
Yeah. That's going to complicate shit.
Yep. That's the simple way to put it, to say the least.
Yeah.
But I guess I don't know the Canadians media culture that well, because I don't speak French. So it's intense. I know that it's intense, but I can't accurately compare it to, say, like a Toronto, where I know it's just a total circus.
I think there are similar circuses.
Yeah. Okay.
It's just in two languages, so we only understand half of it.
True.
You know? it's white hot up there all the time, dude. It's really, the scrutiny is never ending for anything that you do.
Yep.
And I think what's incredible about that aspect of it is that Bergevin just keeps rolling.
Yep. He's not too worried. He does his thing.
Like, how long has he been?
Long, GM long time. Yeah. Now?
You know, it's, I don't, he's been the GM there for a while.
All right, and when you're as swole as Bergevin, you're just not, you can't get fired. All right. The muscles keep him in the GM position.
Yeah, I guess if they're afraid to, fire him because he'll just beat them up.
That's their play. They're going to steal Rod the Bod from Carolina,
man,
to beat up Bergevin.
2012.
Yeah, so that's even longer than Cooper's been a head coach. He's been in the GM spot.
Jeez. Maybe that's why Bergevin started getting so jacked a couple years ago.
Can't fire me.
Yeah.
Too ripped.
71 point season. You could try and fire me, you little nerd.
So that puts him in the top 10 GMs in the league, with Poyle, who's been in control of Nashville forever, being the longest.
Their entire existence.
Yep.
It's the only GM Nashville's ever had.
Then you have a couple of others. San Jose, Anaheim, Chicago with Bowman, obviously. St. Louis and Winnipeg are the only teams with longer GMs, but not really the point we're trying to make. Sticking to the coaching side of things, is Julian's firing another example of head coaching performance is actually just goalie performance? Because Carey Price has not been good this year.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, Jake Allen has been a nice little revelation for them.
True.
He's been an important player
for them. So I'm I think yes.
Okay.
It almost always is, man. It's almost always goaltending almost always plays a role in the firing of a head coach.
Yeah. Fair to say. All right, let's I don't want to give off the wrong impression as I get into this conversation. So let me open by saying the Avs are not, will not, should not go away from Jared Bednar. He's going to be.
Can I ask a real quick question?
Yeah.
What would it take for us to seriously consider it?
About in the immediate, boy,
miss the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't even, you know, unless something crazy happens and the Avs go on like a 15-game losing streak or just something totally out of control, it would be really hard to get him fired before at least near the end of this season.
Okay. So I would say miss the playoffs, he should go.
I think that's fair.
Assuming health, like assuming that he has the team mostly wants.
Extraneous circumstances not included.
Well, because like if Philip Grubauer gets hurt and Nathan MacKinnon gets hurt.
Yeah, if JT Compher's your 1C and Hunter Miska's your starting goalie.
There would be a situation where you're like, well.
Definitely feels a little bit different if that's the case.
I wouldn't even know what to talk about.
Yeah.
if they were to lose 15 games in a row. Like, could you imagine, like, by, like, the ninth loss, it'd be like.
There'd be, like, a big hullabaloo about, oh, double-digit games lost. But then after that, it's like, what do you even say?
Yeah, well, Like I remember 16-17, you know, they lost 16 games and they didn't lose that many in a row.
Yeah, I think they got to like 7 or 8 that year in a row, but.
And it was just, I don't know. Also, I'm not sure you can actually say that the West Division is the worst division in the NHL.
I don't think that's true at all.
I think that it probably will have the lowest top point getter. I think that might be where we're headed right now. But
a little bit of self cannibalism there is the thing.
Yeah. You look at the difference between 1 and 8 right now, there's only a 7-point difference. So for all this bullshit about how the Avs are a huge disappointment and all this stuff, right? Like the division is, I would say top to bottom, it's been more competitive than we expected. You know, before the Kings went on a 6-game winning streak, we were talking about, like, they were probably out of this. This isn't that great, you know, whatever. But right now, there's a 7-point difference between last place Anaheim and first place Vegas. Now, games in hand are all over the place, depending on the teams involved. But that's the spread. And right now, you look at the East, it's 10 points. You look at the Central, it's 13 points. And you look at the North, and it's 19 points.
Yeah, I'm looking at points percentage in each division. And the East, pretty strong. Their lowest is Buffalo with a .438. Anaheim is bad. They have a .400. But next is the Sharks at .471. Mm-hmm. Not by any means out of the picture.
Yeah.
And then you look at the two other divisions. The Canadian division has two teams below 400. And the Central has Detroit at .31.
Yeah.
It's so, which is Ottawa's at as well. And that Canadian division is sneaky bad, man.
Yeah, well, because they've got two teams that so far Vancouver's been a straight bottom feeder.
Yep.
Ottawa, the same thing. But then Calgary, I mean, Calgary 9-9-2.
Yep. Sitting at 500 flat. Yeah, the outside of San Jose and Anaheim, the top six in the West, St. Louis currently in fifth by points percentage at 550.
Yeah.
So there are two weak teams in the West, but not nearly as weak as some of the weak teams in other divisions. And yeah, the top five are all pretty solid.
It's just, I think we're looking at the West. It's so far, it's been way more mediocre than expected. And that includes the top teams, St. Louis, Colorado, and Vegas. Like, Vegas had the kind of start that we would have expected from a top team. And at 11-4-1, you're really not feeling like they have too many problems. But they've played 16 games, and 11 of them have been at home.
Yep.
So for me, that feels like a bubble.
And their schedule has been relatively easy, outside of the four games against Colorado, which they split.
Right. They split those.
Yep. So we'll see how things...
Just to say it again, they split those.
Yep.
Because after last night, it was like, oh, the Avs this, the Avs that. I went and looked this morning just out of curiosity. The Avs don't have a losing record head-to-head against any team in the division.
Pretty good.
Like, they're 1-1 against St. Louis, Anaheim, and LA. But they're 2-0 against San Jose. They're 2-1-1 against Minnesota. And they're 2-2 against Vegas. They haven't played Arizona at all. So,
not bad.
Again, like, for the misery that we're talking about right now, it's just not, they're just not in a, that bad of, they're not in a bad spot.
Shout out Germany. Thank you for listening, JD. Much appreciated to our European fans.
Yeah, our European peeps are crazy awesome. It's so nuts. The stuff that they go through to follow the Avs and to be part of the community. You guys are incredibly awesome.
You go deep when you're an Avs fan from Europe. That is for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So,
coaching.
Yeah, getting back to the coaching conversation. Again, let's ignore Jared Bednar's existence for a second. How interesting is Claude Julien? Not just to the Avs, but let's say to any team in the league that could potentially be looking for a head coach. Because you can't think that guy's going to stay out of the league for long.
Well, and you remember what happened last time when Boston fired him.
Yep. Immediately.
Montreal fired their guy to go and get Claude Julien right away. So, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
It feels really early in the season for another team to be doing that.
Yeah. Certainly a team with playoff aspirations.
Yeah. Yeah. If we were living in a world where the Avs had just fired Jared Bednar and Claude Julien is and Gerard Gallant are out there, those are the two guys that would top my list.
Okay.
My fear with Gerard Gallant is that he has a hard clock on him.
You get a good 3-4 years out of him before it blows up.
Yep. It's really more like 2-3. It's like the old Ken Hitchcock thing where he's a really good coach, but he grinds his players down.
Yep.
Where they don't want to do it anymore. You know, where eventually the message gets tuned out a little quicker because it's so taxing that you just see it. The players check out on that guy. And, you know, it was something that we talked about on this show before it happened in Vegas, where I said, keep an eye out.
Yep.
Because Vegas is starting to show the signs.
That dude got fired like the next day.
Yeah, of having checked out on their coach. And that guy was gone in favor of Pete DeBoer, who's like, not my favorite head coach.
Choice is definitely a choice.
But to be fair, like, had a good run in San Jose, is off to a good start in Vegas, like is having a decent run in another city. So, you know, okay. But Claude, I mean, it would be Gallant and Julien of the retread conversation.
Sure. If you're not getting into the woods of bringing up a less experienced guy from the minors, which, or something.
I mean, you keep in mind the last time that the Avs hired a retread was Joel Quenneville.
Yep.
A guy who had an NHL job before. It was Joel Quenneville. And if you go through their history, they adopted, they came with Mark Crawford, so he doesn't count. Bob Hartley had no NHL experience.
Yep.
You know?
You ended up with Granato for a minute in there, but
Granato had no NHL experience. Quenneville did, and then Granato again. So yep. I guess he at that point
did have NHL experience. He only had the Avs.
And then Sacco, Waugh, and Bednar. This is not an organization that has hired retreads.
That's mostly true. Yeah.
It's like Quenneville and then Granato the second time.
Yep.
But otherwise, it hasn't happened. It's been all promoting guys and assistants. Getting successful AHL guys.
Yep.
Or in the case of Waugh.
Full YOLO.
Former player.
Yeah. Had coached some like Quebec AAA, owned part of a QMJHL franchise.
Bob Hartley's done in the NHL.
Yeah, that dude's never coaching again. Green Mountain Dental Group sponsors this podcast as well. Allie Monroy had her wisdom teeth taken out there. Unfortunately, she had some complications with that, but she said that Green Mountain Dental Group is absolutely taking care of her top to bottom through the process, calling her every day, checking in on her, making sure everything is recovering to the best of their ability, and getting her anything she needs. So no matter what goes on in your mouth, the Green Mountain Dental Group will make sure to take care of it. Yeah. Yeah, I said that. Okay. Moving on. We here are a family-owned business, right? DNVR, local. Green Mountain Dental Group's the same way. So go support local. Supporting our partners is supporting us. Head on over there. You can give them a call at 303-988-0711. And you can get yourself a free Sonicare toothbrush when you sign up for a cleaning, x-ray, and exam. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook with Rudo and AJ. AJ, do we know the answer to the question? Can Jared Bednar be a long-term head coach for the Avs?
He already has been.
I don't disagree, but can he make the jump to being John Cooper style of longevity? You're talking about Gallant. There are certain coaches, I think quite a few, to be honest with you, that have an expiration date with players. John Cooper seems to be one of the exceptions there. Bednar is not that far away from being considered an exception in that regard, as he's not, certainly doesn't look like he's going anywhere. And
yeah, he's got 27 games
to become
to tie Hartley to be the longest tenured
head coach for the Avs. Yeah. So should easily hit that mark through this season. And, yeah, as Adam says in the chat here, the Avs have improved every single year under Jared Bednar.
Well, and that's the kind of thing that develops a long rope for you. You know, that's the kind of thing that's why you have the one. It's not like they were like, well, we'll see. You know, he gets a 3-year deal, and then they keep quietly extending him. And giving him a little raise every time they do, you know, they do a little bit better. They've gotten better consistently under him.
Yep.
Terrible first season, and then they have a 95-point season, make the playoffs as the last seed on the last day of the season. Then the next year, they make the playoffs as a 90-point team. All right, a little bit of a step back there.
3 days before the last day of the season on that one.
Earned it a little earlier. Yeah, that was nice. And then the next season, you know, finish second in the division when the world shuts down due to a virus. But was on pace for, I think it was like a 107-point season or something last year is where they were tracking towards. So, and then also, P.S., you know, they've won They've gotten out of the first round in back-to-back years.
Yep. Which even in that regard, they go to two game sevens in round two.
Yeah.
This year, or this past year, they make overtime. You know, they're that close to moving on to round three, right?
Yeah, a conference, they haven't been in a conference final since, I believe, 2002.
Yep.
I think that they are one of the longest tenured. They have one of the longest conference final appearance droughts.
Buffalo's has got to be longer, right? But or did they, no? They made one in the mid 2000s.
They might. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they have one of the longest droughts for making a conference final appearance.
I believe you. It's been a while, to say the least, for the Avs. And Bednar has brought them to the precipice. The question now is, can he get them over the hump? And there's no reason to believe that he can't. Certainly put it that way. Certainly seems that, at least when healthy, Sakic has given him the tools to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And this is go one at it. This is really the first year where it feels like the cup window is truly open for the Avs and Jared Bednar. Any talk about removing him today is just, it's too early, it's too ridiculous.
Yeah.
You can't even really have a serious conversation about it.
Yeah.
If you're salty and you want to fire off that tweet on Twitter, do you, homie. Go at it, but it's not realistic.
Yeah, and a lot of the times the criticisms of Bednar are like, I don't like his lineup choices.
Okay.
And it's like, that's not going to change with a different head coach.
Yeah. Honestly, if anything, particularly on defense, Bednar has been quite open to playing young guys.
Yeah. And like right now, there's something up. You know, they wouldn't put Martin Kaut in when it made sense to, and blah, 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 blah. But like, you don't fire a head coach for that.
I mean,
like, you fire a head coach because you have a broken locker room. You know, half the guys don't like him, half the guys do, whatever, right? Like, crazy shit happens.
Yeah,
sure. You fire a head coach because the team is playing really, really poorly not for two games, for an extended stretch. You know, you fire a head coach because he has poor systems.
They do need a fan controlled hockey league. That would be wild. But I agree with you, AJ. None of the signs that go with firing a head coach are there for Bednar.
No, they're not even close.
To be honest, there aren't even signs for firing the Avs assistant coaches at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, Nolan Pratt, his PK is up there, and the power play is improved upon from last year. Obviously, the recent 0-for-19 stretch wasn't amazing.
They had an 0-for-19 stretch. They're still in the top half of the league as a whole, and they have the second best power play in the Western Division.
Yeah. Well, and the 0-for-19 stretch was also over the course of like a month.
Yeah.
There was a huge break in the middle of that. It wasn't like they were 0-for-19 this week.
And,
you know?
And the 0-for-19 was a return to middle because they started this year wicked hot on the power play.
Yeah. They were like 40% at one point where you're just like, shh. Okay.
I saw that, Kale. We want a doggo tax. You got to give us the doggo tax. You can't just put your doggo down there and not show it to everybody. Oh, there you go.
Look at that.
This is Kinley.
This is what the Avs internet fan base needs, is more doggos.
Honestly, that's what we should do. The
you
next
can't
time.
Remove himself.
Oh, it will not let me kick myself up.
If we have to sit through an Avs loss tomorrow, we should just have like the bar full of doggos.
Oh, that would be so sick. Doggo night at the DNVR
bar. And it would just be like puppy pile up downstairs in the bar.
Yes. All for this. Doggo night needs to become a thing.
People bring your dogs and drop them off. You don't get to stay. We get to play with all the puppies.
They don't count against the COVID maximum either.
That's right.
We can have as many doggos as we want.
There's no capacity limit for the doggos.
Yeah. I imagine head coaching sometimes is like hurting a bunch of dogs, but...
Yeah, well, and when it's broken, it's cats and dogs.
Oh, true. True. Good call.
Nice.
So, all this to say, Julian's firing certainly seems like a massive outlier and should have no real impact on what the Avs are doing in their coaching positions.
Yep.
All right.
Great. Also, I mean, just when you consider who's in charge and how patient Joe Sakic is.
Very true. Yeah.
At like every turn. For him to fire Bednar right now would be a major knee-jerk reaction. And like the people who think that he needs to be fired anyway, like the people who dedicate their Twitter accounts to hating on Jared Bednar and shit, weird, like that's just what they do. Okay, like whatever. Like for them, it's well past time, but they're living inside of an unrealistic bubble, a delusional existence that is not tethered to reality right now. Like it's just not like teams just don't fire coaches that have been as successful recently as
Jared Bednar.
Jared Bednar, especially when you consider the long term outlook for Colorado. Like when you consider the last 10 years of their existence, like Patrick Waugh caught lightning in a bottle 1 year and lost in the first round with home ice advantage.
And that dude might still be a head coach today if he didn't just walk out on the Avs.
Yeah, it would be interesting to know how things would have gone in 16-17 with him. And then beyond. Who knows, right?
Yep. So... And head coaching is certainly a curious thing in the NHL.
It is my opinion, and I did not used to hold this opinion. It took me actually working in the league and covering a team and being around a team up close every day for me to believe this. But the coaching aspect of things, I think, is the hardest thing to get correct when building a cup champion, because you have to get a guy that connects with your players.
Yep.
You have to get a guy that his style of coaching fits the style of your roster. Now, this is an area where the Avs have been fortunate, because as Bednar has improved, the team has improved with him, and they have tailored more and more of their
player
acquisitions to the style that their coach is coaching. So that's less of a problem in Colorado right now. But were you to fire him, you would want to look for a guy that does something similar to fit your roster that you've spent all this time building. You need to get a guy that connects with your leadership group. Every team has like the core leaders on it. You know, all the personalities matter, but every team has like its like leadership council. You know, it's 3 to 6 guys that they have that kind of run the show in that locker room. You know, veterans, young guys, whatever. It just kind of depends on that team.
The louder
voice,
sure.
Yeah, you need to get a head coach that connects with those guys, that are on the same page with them, and they have full buy-in from that leadership group. Because if you don't, and cracks form in your leadership group, it trickles down. Again, this is one of those things that is applicable to everyday life. When you go to work, if there are cracks in your leadership group at your office, you know that the boss has no respect for the person that's directly under him, but that guy is the guy that you report to. You treat that guy differently.
Yep.
Because the guy above him treats that guy differently. You know, if there's a certain hierarchy that are supposed to be set up, and with coaching, it's really, really difficult. The only way that you're going to know if a coach checks all these boxes is to hire him and to bring him in and just see how it works. That's just it. Like, that's it. That's the only way to know. So it's, I'm of the opinion that getting the coaching aspect of winning a cup champion or of a Stanley Cup team is the hardest thing to do. It's goaltenders are totally random and you don't know when they're going to be good or bad. And it's like juggling, but you can make informed decisions with coaching. This is why retreads are so popular. It's because they are well known throughout the league. You can talk to somebody and say, what was it like when that guy was your head coach?
Yep. I imagine you get a lot of positive reviews at times with that. But
unless you're Joe Sacco, who got fired, has been a top assistant for a decade and has never gotten a sniff for another head coaching job.
Yeah, not been close. All right. I'm for this. Take all your negative Avs internet energy and put that into getting Patrick Waugh as Canadian's head coach trending. Do it for the memes. He can speak French. All right. He fits the bill. Okay. I think we pretty well covered it. Right now, I feel very good about the Avs coaching situation.
I feel good about the Avs in general.
True.
I'm just not that worried about it. It's two games, guys. Good Lord.
I think we've officially beaten this horse to death at this point.
So. Yeah. 6-3-1 in their last 10 games, which has not been good enough to gain ground on anybody in the entire division, except for the San Jose and Anaheim.
Yep.
But so what? It's fine. They're fine.
They're fine. On that note, we're going to get out of here.
Two games the next 48 hours, and it's four games.
Different story, for sure.
Bigger problems, yeah.
But you can't cross that bridge until you get there, for sure. Yeah. Like and subscribe. The video does a ton for us here on YouTube. Much appreciate all of y'all, fam. That's going to do it for us today. Again, we'll be down at the DNVR bar tomorrow. Hopefully it doesn't dump snow like it did overnight so everyone can get there safely. Come join us for an Avalanche watch party where hopefully they break the dam and take it to Arizona with unannounced. They didn't practice today, so we don't know who's starting.
They did not practice. They flew straight to Arizona. Hunter Miska played last night for the Eagles and then took Adam Werner's spot on the team plane. So that's cold-blooded.
Yeah, the only two news articles today for the Avs were Miska called up to the starting lineup and Sherwood called up to the taxi squad. So Shane Bowers remains in jail.
I don't even know who's on the taxi squad anymore because it's been so chaotic that I stopped following.
I know O'Connor's on it and I know Sherwood's on it. I'm sure there's a defenseman on it somewhere. I don't know if it's McDonald or Gilbert or who, but and Adam Werner would be on it now.
Yeah. So
there's three of the six. Anyway, thank you for watching, listening, however you consume the podcast. We always appreciate all of y'all. We will be back tomorrow night with a post-game show again, live from the DNVR bar. Until then, we'll talk to y'all about head coaching again. Next time.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.